Hey everybody, today's podcast is presented by Podgo. Podgo is the easiest way for you to monetize your podcast, providing podcasters with a flat rate for ad space so you always know how much you will get when you include an ad from Podgo. Apply today to become a member and immediately be connected with advertisers that fit your audience. That's podgo.co, podgo.co, and be sure to add our show to the How Did You Hear About Podgo section of the application. As always, thanks again for listening. Enjoy the show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Time Spent Poorly Show with your hosts, Eduardo, Old Huds, and Brother Ron. Here's a quick clip from tonight's show to whet your appetite.
There's a little more premeditation with serial killing. A little more.
A little more?
There's a lot more.
Like, a successful one's got an awful lot of planning trying to get his fetish on. Well, he's got to get the clown makeup just right. And he's got to find the right grandma and get the just
well,
right
I mean, sure, there's everybody's,
not to kill her
everybody.
So he can get her into the trunk without her dying or breaking a hip.
Wow, this really sounds like it's going to be the best show. Better than anyone we've done before or anything we can do afterward. In the history of the program! You mark my words. We know there's all sorts of better ways you can be spending your time, so thanks for spending yours, albeit poorly, with us. If you want to learn more about who we are, go to timespentpoorly.com. Everything you need to know, whether it's accessing past episodes, future live broadcasts, or other shows on our network, it's all right there. There's also a link to our Patreon if you find yourself compelled to support one of your favorite shows, hosted by any of these nobodies from the Pacific Northwest. Well, gentlemen, I'm not here, but you are, so let's get it on! Without further delay, please welcome your hosts, Eduardo, Old Huds, and Brother Ron.
So I was reading through the show notes here.
Oh, you mean the ones we haven't visited yet?
Absolutely no attention to.
But there was before we just derailed.
There was
no. This is one whole show right
there
here.
There was something that caught my eye because I was reading down. You've got this thing about the discussion of kids of famous people.
Yeah.
And I'm reading through all of this list of names, and there's one that really throws me. Who the fuck is Emma Roberts related to?
That's Eric Roberts'
Eric
daughter.
Roberts' daughter.
Yes! I was so hopeful that it was Eric Roberts, not Julia Roberts.
No.
Because
Julia's barren.
Nobody gives a shit about Eric Roberts.
She just had kids.
Oh, no, I know. I just like to say
you just
heinous
like
things.
No, okay. Because I was going through and I was like, okay, I know who that is. And I was like, Emma Roberts. I didn't know that she was like a nepotism person.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Well, let's get into the
Eric
show notes.
Yeah, Eric Roberts.
What do you say?
Yeah, sure.
So
it's only 8:15. I gotta leave in a half an hour, but sure.
We're only 2 hours in.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's one of the.
Is it 8:15?
It's 8:15, and unfortunately, that is one of the drawbacks with Matthew being back in the normal school hours. Now I have to be home in time to make sure that he goes to bed on time. So I can't be like, the show ran long. I'm sorry, but you watched.
Well, he's not in the chat right now, so
I know it's weird.
He's promising,
probably playing Xbox.
It's weird having you here and not having him.
It is a little bit different.
So I want to talk about my old show rabbit hole.
Okay.
Well, it wasn't by my choice. I got off work today. This happened today, and I went and I sat down.
Well, this is a hot take, as they call it.
Is that what a hot take is?
I don't think so.
What is happening?
I'm just trying to comment on this.
No,
show.
So I got up, or I got off work, and I came out and I sat down, and my wife had this show going on, and I'm like, oh, that's an early 80s era Ted Danson in this show, and it's not Cheers, but it's like Cheers. He's got the hair, Ted Danson. Like, I mean, it's totally like right in that fucking.
What show is it?
Wheelhouse. And well, he's not the main cast. He's a character in this episode. He happens to be a character in an episode of a TV show.
Okay.
First I thought it was a movie. And so what I like to do is I actually will go to a actor's, Wikipedia page, and I won't pause the show to see what's on, and I won't even ask to see what's on.
Yeah.
because I like to challenge myself to try to figure it out through guesswork and their filmography, mm-hmm. like whether it be TV or movie. So I'll be like, okay, I'm gonna try to figure out when this was. Like, I'm gonna guess when about this was, and then based on the subtext of what's going on, based on what's going on the screen, find out what TV show this is or movie this is. Mm-hmm. So I'm watching, and there's an actress's name in there that I do recognize, but did not recognize the actress herself. But
what was her name?
I'll get to it.
Oh,
So first thing is I'm listening to like names being dropped, and I haven't heard, like, Ted Danson's the only guy I recognize so far. So I'm like, I need to hear his name so I can see who he, like, his name in the cast of what it, like.
Was it Three Men and a Baby?
No, unfortunately.
That would have been obvious from the get-go, though, because you've got Steve Guttenberg and Tom Selleck.
Yeah, and I know Nancy Travis.
Yeah.
Well, and it's kind of like, I wonder what this movie is. There's three guys and a little kid.
Right.
Oh, it's like, oh.
Is it Three Men and a Baby or is it Three Men and a Little Lady? Which is it?
I saw this movie with Sylvester Stallone. He was like, stop or my mom will shoot. I wonder what that one was called.
Must have been Cobra. You
know? That was over the top, man.
So I finally hear his name dropped. I'm like, oh, okay. So this is the show. And so it's called, the show is called Tucker's Witch. Okay?
Okay.
So doesn't sound familiar, does it? Oh. Okay. So I go to the show page and I'm like, so I'm just going to read from the Wikipedia right now. Tucker's Witch is a comedy detective series that aired on CBS. I'm not going to give the date range yet because this is important to the, it starred Tim Matheson and Catherine Hicks. No, now I would have recognized Tim Matheson and Catherine Wicks of Seventh Heaven fame. And also one of the Star Trek movies. I can't remember which one. The whale one, I think. Was it three?
Was it the whale? Oh, yeah, she was in the whale one. Yeah, that was five.
The whale one was five.
So
no, was that four?
Four.
Four.
Yeah, I was going to say, God, I thought it was four.
The God one.
Where Kirk fights God.
Which is good.
And wins.
The starship.
So it stars Tim Matheson and Catherine Hicks as charming married couple Rick and Amanda Tucker, who own and operate their private detective agency in Laurel Canyon in Los Angeles. So, okay. So this is, you see these shows, like these shows were like prevalent in the day, or these types of dramas, Dallas, Dynasty, Heart to Heart, that kind of shit was like all over. And so you recognize names like show names like that. Mm-hmm. Remington Steele with Pierce Brosnan, within that vein, Matlock, MacGyver, what's the one with Selleck in it?
Magnum P.I.
Wow. Those kind, like all those shows, the one with James Garner.
Rockford Files.
Yeah. I was going to say Maverick.
and Maverick. He did Maverick a couple times.
That too.
So anyway, then here we go. Amanda. So As I key in, I see the two lead characters having this like one off, and I don't recognize them. Neither of them. And at this point, I've already like I'm looking. I'm like Tim Matheson and Catherine Hicks. These guys don't look like Tim Matheson and Catherine Hicks. I know what a young Tim Matheson looks like. I've seen Animal House, mm-hmm. So I know like these actors, right? So I'm like, okay, but so then all of a sudden he's like going to do something, and I'm not like keeping up with like the plot of what's happening in the episode, but she starts doing this bewitch shit where she's like basically trying to coax him into fucking her, and not leaving to go try to do detective shit, I guess.
Okay.
And he's like, and he's doing this like, no, Amanda, stop it, because she's like getting all rock hard, I'm guessing. In his,
like your tombstone.
Yes, like that tombstone.
Okay.
So, and he's saying Amanda, and I'm like, that's not Catherine Hicks. I don't know who that is, but that's not Catherine Hicks. She's cute, but that's not, and Catherine Hicks wasn't like, I didn't ever see her as cute. She just kind of looked like a mom to me.
And maybe it's just because I was a kid at that time, but this the female lead in this particular episode playing Amanda did not look like her, and she looked more attractive and kind of like in a sexy way. And so she's, and then she's doing this bewitched shit where she's like trying, and so the character Amanda possesses psychic powers, which is an asset to solving cases, but also tends to get the pair into various troubles.
It would be. Psychic powers would be an absolute asset to solving fucking mysteries. So,
the
stupid line.
The I want to read about the pilot.
The show
I didn't
ran
know
one season.
I had not. I had not paused. I had not paused the episode. The show ran,
for,
one
year, right?
One episode.
Okay, the shows, even better.
No. Okay, I'm sorry. No, not one episode. But I did not know what episode I was watching. I walked in on the episode in progress.
Yeah.
I did pause at a certain point as I was reading through the plot and the pilot description. The show, and realized, oh, I'm watching the first episode. And my wife had just queued something up as for noise, basically, is what happened. So it, the show's pilot was originally filmed in early 1982 as The Good Witch in Laurel Canyon. Of Laurel Canyon, and starred Art Hindle and Kim Cattrall. Kim Cattrall was the who is from
Mannequin,
Sex in the City, the Mannequin. Yes, yeah.
I always think of Mannequin first, and Mannequin Big Trouble in Little China second.
Yeah,
and Big Trouble in Little China is in my top five movies, and it should come first. But she will always be Emmy from the fucking Mannequin.
And
first.
she is attractive at this age.
Yeah, she was fucking way.
And imagine her doing like fucking psychic shit where she's like wanting to get this guy and. On CBS, no less. So, in May 1982, CBS announced the series had been picked up with that title and cast. However, over the summer of 82, this is where it gets fun, the film Porky's debuted in the United States. The film contained a notably racy scene with Cattrall and received negative critical attention overall, despite the box office success.
Didn't she like fuck a dog or something? I'm pretty sure she
don't know. I didn't watch Porky's very much.
It had to do with a collie, I think.
Oh, I'm sure.
Now I have
CBS suddenly demanded that Cattrall be let go from the series and that the pilot be reshot with a new female lead.
They Christopher Plummered her ass.
Yes, in 1982, Catherine. So. We're just repeating history. Don't worry about it, everybody. Just look away. We're doing that again. Catherine Hicks replaced Kim Cattrall, and the whole cast, even the show's title changed. Tim Matheson came in for Art Hindle. Hindle had also played a small role in Porky's, in parentheses. The original pilot was never aired. However, it is now available on Amazon Prime, along with the rest of the short-lived series. In a 1986 interview with Toronto Star, Hindle told reporter Rita Zekas the following regarding his and Cattrall's departures from the series. All the networks show these pilots to members of the public, and they pick up on the street, and they push button responses in their hands. They responded to whether they liked the character, don't like the character, or they liked the story, don't like the story, like the scene, don't like the scene. She didn't do too well with these responses, so they replaced her. And then I just walked. I had other things to do, and I didn't really want to get involved with something they were going to start pulling strings all the time.
They did that with the chick that played Daenerys in Game of Thrones.
Yeah, yeah.
Amelia Clark wasn't the original. She wasn't in the original pilot.
Yeah, they do it with pilots all the time.
They recast the poor girl that was in the original pilot. They raked her over the coals. But that's acting.
It aired for the show was placed on hiatus after six episodes had aired. Months later, it was brought back to burn off the remaining episodes. It's always fun when you get a series when you're part of a series that burns off episodes.
Yeah.
It was to burn off the remaining episodes. The program was switched to Thursday for the second half of its run. It later rebroadcast on USA Network. The program was retitled The Good Witch of Laurel Canyon, the series' originally intended title.
Okay.
So
God, they were both in Star Trek.
I found it interesting.
Dude, everybody's been in Star Trek.
Who was both in Star Trek? Point.
Kim Cattrall and Catherine Hicks.
Oh, wow.
Kim Cattrall was Lieutenant Valeri's in,
yeah, she in, was in
Undiscovered the Country. The sixth one.
Was it the sixth one?
Yeah, the one where they... It was after the God one.
Which was
it,
the one... Was Christopher Lloyd in three?
Christopher Lloyd was in three. Christopher...
He played Klingon, right?
Klingon, yeah.
Yeah, Christopher Plummer played the Klingon in six.
Okay.
In Undiscovered Country, because they were trying to get peace in our time.
Jeffrey Combs, the guy from, like, Reanimator and stuff, has been, I believe, outside of the original series, has been a guest role on every iteration of Star Trek.
Wow.
As some different kind of alien. I saw a picture online of him as, you know, in a bunch of different prosthetics. But no, if you are anybody who had any kind of acting role
in the
80s? From like the 80s when Next Gen started up until...
Yeah, you were in a Star Trek episode somewhere.
Yeah, you were in Star Trek somewhere. Even if you were, you know, maybe uncredited or didn't have a line or anything like that.
I'm handing this article off to you. Moving on to the next topic.
The Macaulay Culkin thing?
Yes.
Okay. And Brenda Song, the Asian... Really?
They've been together for a handful of years now.
That in football parlance, that is what they call outkicking your coverage, man. Like, he did well for himself. Good for goofy, crackhead-looking Macaulay Culkin. She's one of many Disney people that...
Who do you think would win in a fight, the Culkins or the Baldwins?
The Baldwins. Numbers.
Yeah.
And Coke and alcohol. You've got
Macaulay, you've got Kieran, you've got...
They're wiry and scrappy, but...
But those are the only three.
I don't know. Macaulay
that are
Culkin,
active in the industry.
I could. There's a good chance I could take all of the Culkin children myself.
So Macaulay Culkin, or as they jokingly and inadvertently referred to him as Macaulkin. I don't know if you guys are familiar with Red Letter Media on YouTube at all, but they are.
I'm aware of them.
They're one of the few channels that I like. They have a new video out, so I'm going to stop what I'm doing and watch it. Like I follow them more loyally than I follow most like TV shows and stuff. And he has guested on several of their discussions about different movies and stuff like that. They do a roundtable bad movie discussion called Best of the Worst, and one of the Best of the Worst that they did, they skewered one of the Home Alone movies. I believe it was Home Alone 4.
Not starring Macaulay Culkin.
Because they couldn't even get the Culkin.
Not starring Macaulay Culkin. But that was one of the three movies that they were just...
You would have think they would have picked up one of the brothers to play him. Because, I mean, they all look relatively similar.
So I'm sorry to get on this tangent, but are you familiar with the story of the Home Alone sequels?
Not that.
Like post Donald Trump?
So 4 is like a hard reboot that both acknowledges the previous movies... But then doesn't. The kid is playing Kevin McAllister.
Really?
But he's younger than Macaulay Culkin was. But he doesn't have siblings. And his parents are separated. And like it's really fucking weird, man. It's really...
Alternate universe.
My ex-wife bought this Home Alone 4-pack DVD thing for the kids.
Into the Home Alone verse.
But yeah, it's a trip.
Right.
I hate when fucking Hollywood does that. Just like they just milk the shit out of that cow until it's unmilkable.
It's just given milk dust.
Until they like undo goodwill that the good ones had because you're just so fucking done with it.
Like just leave a little sprinkle in the air.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
A little and something to make people want more. Don't give them more though.
French Stewart is the bad guy. Like French Stewart, the dude from Third Rock from the Sun. And he plays Marv. But he plays Marv as, what was Joe Pesci's character's name?
Anybody? Remember.
Somebody?
I don't remember. Wet Bandit number one.
They were the Wet Bandits. That's what I always remember. Wet
Bandit number one.
But he dresses as Joe Pesci's character. he has all of the mannerisms and behaves and like speaks in first person memories of himself as Joe Pesci's character, but his name is Marv, which is Daniel Stern's character's name.
Is it Harry?
Yeah.
Harry. Yeah.
Harry.
I was looking it up right now.
Harry.
Marvin Harry.
So he's like, his name is Marv, but he's Harry. It's really, it's a weird, if you're somebody who watched the Home Alone movies regularly as a child, like if you're a child of our age.
So he plays a Pesci-esque character under the Marv name.
I don't know if you heard me because you were outside, but he literally, like, he talks about previous things that happened as though he is Harry, but he's Marv. It's really fucking weird. But anyway,
that's when you have a bad writer room.
Yeah,
like that's what that dude, is.
They watched someone slept through the movie.
This movie did not have a writer room.
It had one dude.
It had one guy.
Lots of coke and an auto writer. Like,
so
he's like, let the spirits write this one.
No, it's a
Ouija board.
It's weird. Like the parents are separated, and the dad is hooked up with this super rich lady whose house is like a smart house, or like an early 90s version of what a smart house would be.
That's hilarious.
Where you could talk to the doors and they would close like Star Trek and shit like that. And so like he used,
well, you know how the talk boy house was like one of the smartest things around at the time.
And, you know, in the early 90s, by 2020 we were all gonna have flying cars and that kind of shit. But so it's like he doesn't make traps on his own. He like uses the smart house to make traps for it. I don't know. Waste an hour and 15 minutes.
No.
And watch Home Alone 4 one of these days, because you'll just constantly be going, what the fuck?
No.
What
I
the
will
fuck?
I'm just going to tell you now, I will not do that, because one, the only two that exist in my, like, fuck that weird kid that grew up, that human
Scarlett
head
Johansson
weighs 8
is in 3.
Pounds.
The Scarlett third
kid. Scarlett Johansson's in the third one.
Yeah,
she plays the.
She's the sister.
She's
but
the
none of
sister, yeah.
None of the other people reprise, like Joe Pesci didn't reprise, right? No one else reprised their roles.
No.
It was completely recast.
Well, the third one, they weren't even the McAllisters. It was just
some
was
other
Home
new
Alone
random
family. Home Alone in spirit, but it wasn't
Home
but
Alone.
Then
the Next Generation.
Again, they go back to 4, and it's like, no, his name is Kevin McAllister, but somehow he's not Macaulay Culkin. He's like several years younger. His siblings have been like Thanos snapped from existence, as has his parents' marriage. But anyway. Macaulay Culkin and Brenda Song are officially parents, announcing the birth of their son Dakota on Monday. But Culkin's been talking about having kids with Song since 2018, and those resurfaced comments have not aged well. Although, to be fair, they weren't really great to begin with. In an interview with People in August 2018, Culkin was extremely candid about his desire to have kids with Song, even going so far as to say, quote, "This one's a good one, so I'm probably going to put some babies in her in a little bit. I mean, we've definitely been practicing." Then Culkin noted how excited he was that the race of their future children would be, saying, quote, "I'm going to have some pretty babies. She's Asian, so I'm going to have tiny little Asian babies. It's going to be adorable, a bunch of Sean Lennons running around the house. That's what I'm looking for," he said in reference to the song.
If you've ever listened to his podcast, he's hilarious.
That's one of the reasons why I like him guesting on Red Letter Media. He's a genuinely pretty funny guy.
Seth Green, who created, like, is the creator of Robot Chicken. They're like good buddies. Like, they had, like, the sense of humors that they have are like in line with our.
So they're upset that.
Yeah,
is
it's
that
bullshit.
The
it's just
of it.
Yeah, essentially, that's the basically why I wanted to cover the article, is because it's a non-story. It's another fucking non-story.
Dude, that is a, wow.
Yeah, I'm going to get canceled for some of the shit I said tonight about nurses. You're not going to be able to get service.
Cancel culture is going to get canceled in like 10 years.
See, now if
it's too, but it's
the pendulum will swing
too
back.
Long.
Now, if he had come out in August of 2018 and been like, "No, I totally want to have babies with this lady, but I hope when they come out, they don't look too Asian like her. I hope they're more white like me." Then you have a story. Like, whoa, dude, maybe you should not say that.
No, basically, he's just saying that Sean Lennon's a cute kid, and he's going to have some cute kids. That's okay.
Okay. Yeah, damn, that's a non-story.
Yeah. That's the only reason. Like, most of these stories that I pull, the Pat Sajak shit, all that stuff, me is a non-story.
Some person took time because
somebody got their fucking ass in a wad about it.
To go back through, this was 2018, August, so almost 3 years. To scroll back through almost 3 years.
So I'm just going to tweet. I'm going to map out this person's fucking lonely ass one bedroom apartment for you. It's what was that one where the two brothers, they collected every newspaper ever and they lived together in a little apartment. That's what it is, except it's with People magazines instead of every newspaper.
Man,
and he's like, August, Culkin was in August 2018. And he fucking runs into the other room, and he's fucking flinging
like
him over.
Sort
he's
of
like, this is it.
Savant.
This is it. I can cancel him. He had an Asian baby, and he was talking about having Asian babies in 2018. Like, fuck you.
No, what happened is somebody did a keyword search through the Twitterverse for Asian babies, found a post where Culkin said Asian babies. Did a deep dive from that point, and it's bullshit.
Go jerk off or something. Man. And there are so many other things you can do with your time.
Right now, that's the theme of the moment is Asian topics.
Right. Yeah, that's
because that dude Asian shot up that fucking rub and tug.
It is, man, everywhere.
I know, and people are like, oh, those poor women were, like, they were prostitutes. Sorry. It happens. That dude had performance problems. He wasn't being racist. He just he went down and he paid somebody for a rub and tug, and it didn't work out. And he had some mental health problems because we were talking about this before.
His dick didn't work, and he took it personally.
He took it.
I think you guys talked about it on the last show.
Yeah, and that's what happened. And it's horrible that it happened, but it's. I mean,
well, and what really makes a serial killer much different than somebody that goes on a shooting spree? They're just doing it faster.
It's just,
kind of.
I mean,
but I mean, like,
there's a little more premeditation with serial killing. It's a little more.
There's a lot more.
Like, a successful one's got an awful lot of planning trying to get his little fetish on. Well, he's got to get the clown makeup just right, and he's got to find the right grandma and get to just
everybody,
so he can get her into the trunk without her dying or breaking a hip.
Serial killing stuff is a lot like it shares a lot of similarities with rape, where it's like the act. That's not your end result. You're not raping somebody because you want to get your rocks off. You're raping somebody because there's a power dynamic in play, and you want to.
Well, that's what gets the rocks off.
The
power dynamic.
Yeah, and the serial killer versus the like impulse, mass shooter. It's totally a guy who goes and fucking unloads into a crowd of people has had it, and he just wants to fucking kill some people. The serial killers, they're not out there killing people because they want to kill people. They're out there killing people because there are aspects of killing people that fulfill them.
Well, we talked about this episode that Huds and I did was like, because the big argument's always about gun control, but there's never like a gun control advocate that's out there advocating for gun control by having like executing some sort of, like, they're not trying to teach everybody a lesson by pointing out the atrocities of gun control by doing a shooting.
You know what I always thought would be really interesting to see, to kind of go along with that? If you had somebody whose manifesto, because all these mass shooter people always have manifestos, if that was their...
If that was their
log line.
Right.
We don't see that. Proof.
So it's typically a mental health issue.
And here's my detailed explanation of why. Maybe. You motherfuckers want to discuss why guns should be outlawed? I'm about to show you all why guns should be outlawed.
Right. That's a movie.
You never see that.
No, that's
there's my script. I'm punching that shit up.
Well, yeah, and then he goes out to do it and he gets shot by somebody with a concealed carry.
It won't sell.
And it'd be perfect.
Bad subject
matter.
The whole
movie is the build up to him going to shoot some people, and there's a good Samaritan with a concealed carry license that draws down and takes him out before he kills anybody.
It'd be like
but a concealed carry that's a concealed carry though. Do you really want to? I want to see an open carry guy that's just like covered head to toe.
I think those people have a mental disorder. There's also a problem there. Like,
I don't know.
There are constant erections.
I'm all about it. Like, if you want to carry a gun
right,
around,
no, we talked about this,
around,
yeah.
But that's not me.
There's a difference between...
I'm not that guy.
I'm carrying this gun in the event that I wind up in a real sideways situation versus I want every motherfucker in this room to know
Somebody makes fun of my cargo shorts. Yeah. I've got this fucking heat strap to my leg that I can...
What good are cargo shorts if you're not using them to hold your ammunition?
That's why they've got pockets on both sides. Yeah, I can't believe somebody took the time to get so bent out of shape.
And they should have left him the fuck alone. Just let him be a
dad. He's not doing any harm to anybody.
The only thing that he's offending is a bunch of cameras.
The dude has stepped out of the spotlight largely in the last for a long time. He's got a podcast that probably generates some income from ad revenue.
Yeah, it does.
Outside of that, and like, he's probably paying his friends and people that will guest on his show for coming out. He doesn't have to make money.
He's living
doing
on that
okay.
sweet Home Alone residual.
Yeah.
Which like, I'm sure is still a thing.
He got money for The Good Son, even.
Oh, I can.
That movie was great.
I loved that movie. I liked that. That movie was ahead of its time. In a way.
Oh, yeah.
But it's also a movie that wouldn't probably get made today.
Last Action Hero is my go-to of movies that were ahead of their time.
A decade later,
that shit was Last Action Hero would have been a motherfucking blockbuster.
Right.
Yeah.
The font choices for The Good Son, as you're running like the credit sequence, were a weird choice. It was like this... really rounded. I can't remember
like
what
Comic Sans.
It was almost like a Comic Sans. Yeah, like a Comic Sans type font.
Huh.
That was really like soft and just kind of like happy. It was a happier font. But we're actually dealing with a mentally disturbed child that seeks to murder those around him.
Wasn't Elijah Wood?
Oh shit.
Yes.
He was in American Horror Story. I didn't know.
He's going to be in the new season. It's not out yet. He's going to be in the new season.
Yeah, he had a baby, so he needs to.
Speaking of Culkins, his brothers are fucking phenomenal actors.
Yeah.
Rory and Kieran are great. Kieran's in Succession.
But the
series that's on HBO right now, Succession with Brian Cox.
Lots of really good things, but I haven't watched it.
Oh, man. Kieran is top notch. Rory's done some good shit. Some of the movies that they did throughout the 2000s, like those independent stuff that they did, Igby Goes Down, Scott Pilgrim, you said. Yeah. There's a handful of movies that both of those brothers
were
in.
That's another movie that is
Cider House Rules.
Like, damn, everybody's in Scott Pilgrim.
Everybody's
Cider House Rules wasn't really indie, but I think it was Rory that was in that one. Plays a pretty good role in that.
With Tobey Maguire.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
It's and
you
Michael
princes
Caine.
Of New England, you kings. Of
That's
New
a great Michael Caine impression. I love it.
I do all right.
Signs. I think Rory Culkin's in Signs.
Yeah, he's the brother and
the little brother. Yeah, not the little brother. He's the older brother to Abigail Breslin.
Uh-huh.
We watched that recently. No, yeah. I mean,
everybody's really great in that.
The Culkin kids are good. I mean, Kieran overcame being the bedwetter in Home Alone to do some really good fucking movies.
It's hands down Shyamalan's best movie.
Signs?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the last movie
that
scared
me.
Like, hands down. No, I don't even think it's a discussion.
I agree.
Split was good.
That's
but I don't think that had anything to do with Shyamalan Ding Dong and everything to do with
McAvoy.
I think
that was all James McAvoy.
He's such a good actor.
Being good, really talented actor.
Playing that little kid,
Uh-huh.
Oof, man.
So, okay.
All right.
Since it's 8:45... And we have this relegated to supporting roles or higher potential because you posited
there's a lot of higher potential in this list and there's a lot of supporting roles in this list.
There is. And the one that you posited in the chat was Angelina Jolie being John Voight's daughter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There aren't a whole lot of people on this list that you have. that just shooting from the hip that I think are
Laura Dern was surpassing fucking
their
Jurassic
their, Park, predecessor.
Their predecessors.
Yes.
Angelina Jolie, I think, for all that John Voight did.
She did, but she did. Hasn't. She did. Well, I'll say she did.
She has a new movie coming out.
Yeah, that movie's bullshit. Fucking
dude, John Bernthal's in it.
That's the only thing that's in it. That and a fucking watchtower.
Yeah.
That's going to burn to the ground, just like her career.
So
I don't think that movie's good. I can tell by the preview it's not good.
It doesn't look
good. What's it called?
Those Who Wish Me Dead. The only thing it has going for it is John Bernthal's in it. And John Bernthal is, as far as I can remember, great in everything that I've seen him in. And it's written by Taylor Sheridan, who...
Even Wind River, where he plays a small, insignificant part, he's great in.
Taylor Sheridan did worked on Yellowstone. He did High Water.
Did he direct Hell or High Water?
He might have. I know he wrote it. He does. His writing credits are more prolific than his directing credits. But
this trailer looks...
The trailer sucks.
Let's rapid fire these kids.
That's what I wanted
to say.
Jack Quaid, above or below?
I'd say he's potential right now.
Potential to tie his parents. Currently,
below.
But Meg
currently
Ryan,
below,
but Meg Ryan potential. Was huge for a while. Dude, yeah.
And Dennis Quaid continues, awesome in shitty movies.
Dennis Quaid is the
he
high
elevates
point.
Shit he movies does. Too. Still,
yeah,
yeah,
he really does.
Wyatt Russell, I don't think will ever match Kurt Russell.
No,
he is uncomfortable to look at.
He's really talented.
He is
Captain America.
Almost a mini Kurt Russell, but he's not quite there. He's almost like
awesome in that one episode of Black Mirror.
He's almost like an uncanny valley of Kurt Russell.
I don't think he looks much like him at all. Like I can tell that he's
young.
There's some similarities.
Yeah, but I wouldn't be like, oh, it looks like a young version of his dad. Like, I mean, you can see
the resemblance.
Neither of Tom Hanks's boys will ever amount to what he has.
I didn't even put Chet on the list.
Like Colin can't even keep up with his dad's
Shay thanks. Colin Hanks.
Same with Scott Eastwood.
Yeah.
Colin Hanks can exist within his own.
I think Colin Hanks is able to exist within his own universe.
Colin Hanks.
You don't like him.
I don't
have a problem with him necessarily. I don't think that he's at the Tom Hanks. He'll ever be at the Tom Hanks level.
No,
I don't.
No, well, he already hasn't been because Tom Hanks had what, 4 Oscar noms in the bag before Colin Hanks.
The best thing Colin
came
Hanks
out of
has
his nuts.
Was,
yeah,
yeah.
And
Colin Hanks has already passed the age deadline for Oscar noms.
Scott Eastwood, who, like.
I've watched him in a couple movies, and
he was in the Academy Award-winning film The Suicide Squad.
Never, ever will Scott Eastwood surpass his dad. His dad has too many fucking irons in the fire.
Not a chance in hell.
But also, this last war movie that I saw him in, I can't remember what it's called, but it was almost like they were saying, "Hey, act like your dad acted."
I bet the director was saying
that. I'm sure they probably did.
And so
it's like, hey, be more like your dad. Could you imagine that?
Now, on the flip
side, Scott Eastwood should not have gotten into acting.
No.
He should have done something else or stayed on the stage.
Because you see him doing these little, like, quirky...
Because he looks like his dad.
Because he does.
He does look like his dad.
And
he's got that thing. Like, some angles, you're just like, God damn, he looks just like
him. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then the camera will move just a little bit, or the lighting will change.
I think the same thing you could say for Wyatt Russell, too. I think that's the same exact...
Yeah, he's got
his dad's
It's
a facial expression.
Now, on the flip side of the Scott Eastwood coin, you have the Skarsgård brothers.
Oh, they've surpassed their dad. Well,
they've all already done.
Yeah.
Bill and Stellan.
And Alex.
I'm not familiar with much of it.
Didn't he?
No. Bill.
Alexander.
Bill was it. Alexander was most
recently. Is he True Blood? He's
True
Blood.
But he was most recently Randall Flagg in The Stand.
Right. Okay. Yeah. He's well.
He was one of the highlights of
that. He's well beyond his dad. Bill and then Stellan.
I don't know. Like, Stellan is good.
Isn't Stellan the dad?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And he's,
But isn't there a third brother?
He's one of the better things about the MCU. He's so consistently
Dr.
good.
Dr. Selvig is great.
And he was awesome in Ronin.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't like Ronin because it's a weird movie. There's a lot of shit going on, and if you don't know like European politics, it doesn't make any sense.
Right.
Because everybody was like...
That movie bored me because I didn't understand what
right.
was.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on that you're just kind of like, okay, get me to action now.
Well, and if you don't understand like 80s, 90s, if you don't understand like Cold War politics,
right.
it's like, who cares?
No, Stellan's got his own, like, it's he's almost like the Colin Hanks of...
The family.
Like the flip, because he can... He can hold his own in a supporting type role or in a, I don't, like, he's played a couple lead roles because after, like, Good Will Hunting, he got a couple, like, bigger roles. Like, what's that one he played, like, the weird bad guy in that movie with Julia Stiles? House on the Lake or something like that? It was, I don't know. There was some early 2000 movies that he would have been in.
We hit Angelina already.
We hit Angelina. Kate Hudson, I think she had her period. I don't know.
She was on her way.
She was on her way.
She was on her way.
Equaling or surpassing.
Didn't she marry a rock star or something and fuck that up?
She married the dude from the Black Crowes.
That's right.
Yeah.
And that's probably what did her in.
She's pretty fizzled at this point. I haven't seen her in much anything else.
I don't know who Dakota Johnson is.
But maybe that's by choice.
Who's Dakota Johnson?
Dakota Johnson. We talked about that. That's Don Johnson's
chick from 50 Shades of Grey.
Oh, no. We talked about Emma Roberts. Dakota Johnson is Don Johnson and Melanie Griffith's kid.
Huh.
50 Shades of Grey.
50 Shades of Grey. She's the lead in the Suspiria remake.
Really, her claim to fame is that.
Happily use this moment to hardcore fucking stump for that movie. If you have not seen it, it's the first physical copy of a movie that I bought since Annabelle was born.
Suspiria
still is the only physical copy of a movie that I have bought in the 5 years that Annabelle has been alive.
Wow. I feel like I saw that movie.
Fucking great.
Don Johnson was in Knives Out. That was a fucking great movie.
Yeah.
See, Netflix is making sequels for that.
Are they
really?
You know,
yeah.
You know how much they paid?
$465 million.
Just for the rights.
You know how much?
Just for the rights.
Spend another. I don't know how many millions to make a film.
They probably made
are they going. Who are they going to cast for that though? For
Daniel Craig 15. Is back.
Is he back?
Yes.
Well, I would hope so for that budget.
So my theory
or for that.
My theory is. No one else will be back.
It's a Daniel Craig vehicle with a different supporting high-level cast.
Crazy cast of eccentric characters and
high-paid actors.
I think it's a great, great move for Netflix.
It's a formula that works. And
they keep doing shit to make me not cancel my subscription. Like, every time I think about canceling it, they're like, oh, but there's a Diablo series.
HBO Max has been doing that with me, too.
Another season of fucking...
Like,
Castlevania.
HBO Max keeps winning for me. I haven't been able to walk away from them.
I hate to break in, but motherfucking Invincible is the best cartoon.
I still haven't checked it out yet, but I want to.
I need to see.
I don't know if you've read the comics, but I mean they're following pretty close, but there's some significant changes. So if you did read the comics, it's not like it's totally spoiled for you.
Right.
Like there's some shit that's spoiled that I knew before going in. But wow. I mean, J.K. Simmons is Omni-Man, and he looked like J.K. Simmons in the fucking comics.
Wow.
And so it's like, oh, yeah. I mean, he looks like...
You recognize...
He looks like J. Jonah Jameson.
It's like when they draw characters, like if Andy Serkis is playing an ape or Gollum, you can see like Andy Serkis.
It's at that gay... drama movie that had all the Oscar buzz here, Call Me By Your Name, here like 2 years ago, 3 years ago, whatever.
Oh, with Timothy Chalamet.
Yeah, Chalamet. It's going to be in Dune. Luca Guadagnino, something like the guy who directed that, who was.
Yeah, whoa, yeah.
Suspiria was the movie that he did prior to.
Oh, movie. Okay.
And it's a remake of an old late 70s Italian horror movie that Dario Argento did. And it is really. Really, really wildly different from the original movie, but Tilda Swinton's in it. Dakota Johnson's in it, and she plays...
She doesn't do it for me. I don't like Tilda Swinton
really?
At all.
I love Tilda Swinton.
She looks like a boy.
She, yeah.
I don't like that. I don't like anybody who looks androgynous.
Dude, she's so great. I watched Constantine again here a couple days ago.
I love
ago.
That movie.
She's so fucking great in that, and so is Peter Stormare.
I will respect the hell out of her ability to act, but I just find her uncomfortable to look at.
Dakota Johnson plays this girl who it's like right around the end of World War II occupation. And she's an American who moves to Germany to join this like the most prestigious dance academy in the world. And it turns out that the dance academy is run by a coven of witches who are led by Tilda Swinton. And it's a really slow, like artsy type horror movie.
I assume that Tilda Swinton runs every coven
but,
of witches.
Dude, there's like they use their dancing to cast spells is like how their spellcraft works. And Dakota Johnson legit? Is this like, she's like, essentially, not to be too spoilery, but you don't realize it until the movie starts to progress, but she's like a borderline like prophesized emissary.
She's the fucking
for
chosen
the physical
one.
Yeah, almost.
Okay.
Of for
already not
to,
sold.
To be the physical embodiment of the like most powerful witch spirit of the three witch spirits that this coven. Worships and it is the most like gross, really body horror. There's a girl who's been cast out from the coven that they have just in this room in like a completely surrounded by mirrors. It's so pretty.
You ever look at dancers'
it's
feet? That's real life
movie.
Body horror.
Yeah. It's
awful.
The cinematography is gorgeous. It's a really fucking pretty movie. But she's in this room that's like a dance room that's completely surrounded by mirrors. And Dakota Johnson is doing this dance that has no music to it. It's just her movement of like interpretive dance. Well, it turns out that the spell that she's casting as she's contorting herself, the spell is being cast on this girl who's downstairs. And it's literally like physically contorting her body. And like slowly just crushing her in on herself, killing her. And she like pisses herself in the process. And like it's really graphic. And it fucking, again.
So better than anything Don Johnson's ever done.
Dude, I don't know, man.
Don Johnson's done some pretty good work. But I think Dakota has the potential. I've seen her in some stuff like...
If you had only
because,
ever seen her
like,
in 50 Shades, you wouldn't think fucking nothing about her. But she's
right,
actually got
But she's actually go. Been doing so. Like, I've seen her
got
in a couple things where she's like, oh, well, actually, she can act.
Yeah.
I wouldn't hold that shit against anybody. I would take that paycheck. I'd pay. I'd
totally.
Play that dude.
Totally.
Oh, yeah. No, totally. I mean.
I'd have signed up to play that dude because I would. That's a residual check that's yep, never going away.
Yeah, exactly.
Emma Roberts. Had her day.
She's better than her dad. I don't think she'll live up to Auntie.
Of course, I think he's going to have the better long-term sustainability.
God,
because
he was in Heroes. Dude. He was in the Batman movies. He was in...
Yeah, but he was also in motherfucking Bigfoot versus D.B. Cooper.
Oh, well, that's...
But even, he's...
Like...
But he's
okay,
got...
I mean,
so she's never going to pass dad up.
He's got... Exactly. He's
never.
Got character actor sustainability.
Yeah,
she's gonna run out of she'll run out of leading lady juice.
Neither of them
before
really. I don't know, man. I think
I don't know. I think he picked a good woman because her mouth got way toned down from that Robert's mouth. Like it's there, but it's not like I'm gonna eat your whole head. I'm gonna dislocate my jaw like a fucking snake and chew you down.
She plays a really good bitch. I'll give her that.
Yeah.
She plays a really great bitch. Pass. Jaden and Willow Smith pass.
They
well,
won't,
no, I'll
they
say,
won't even. They won't
pass.
Even.
They're done. They've already had their day in
yeah,
the sun,
and they won't
shit.
Even
that,
live up to Jada Pinkett Smith.
No, like, they won't even live up to their mom. I agree.
No, they're one and done. They had their day was late 2000s, early 2000s, or the 10s.
Well, but and this is
late.
This
2000s
is like
to early
Wyatt
2010s.
Russell. Like
and
Wyatt
even
Russell
Will Smith
could be
is
really
done
actually
point.
Amazing. And he'll never live up to Kurt Russell because it's not like he can be in Big Trouble in Little China. He can't time travel back to fucking 1987.
Yeah, right. But...
Or 86, sorry.
But the thing is that he actually... He is talented, but will never overshadow his dad. They're not.
Well, yeah, but with Will Smith as your dad, you might as well just stay out of
pack
the limelight. Like, go
in.
Program computers or something.
Yeah.
Gwyneth Paltrow, she has surpassed her mom easily
who
by
was
this
her mom?
Point. Blythe Danner.
By far.
Yeah. that's not
people
even,
buy like, candles that close. Smell like her pussy.
Yep.
Like.
Yep. Yep.
She nobody has, else on that list can say that.
No, right. Nobody's parents on that list can say that.
Nobody's buying Kate Hudson's pussy candle.
No, Gwyneth Paltrow.
Well, I would if she put one out.
Ouch. Kiefer Sutherland, I think it was at least on par with dad.
No,
he had 24.
Kiefer Sutherland has surpassed his dad. However, his dad has had a long-standing, sustainable career that has continues.
I would consider them on par. I wouldn't say that
I would say they're.
Him.
I would say they're on par because Kiefer had his day, like MASH shit that like happened way before Kiefer even existed.
Dude, he's old, like Invasion of the Body Snatch.
Right. No, I mean, he's been around for a long time.
Yeah.
And the work he, and the work he's like
Emilio,
there's not a single body of work that he's done that's been
Charlie's on par with dad. Dad's had some shit. From Apocalypse Now to American President to the West Wing.
West Wing.
Like you ever to the elusive man.
Charlie's only on par because of Two and a Half Men, though.
Putting on a jacket.
Say that again.
You ever see the video of Charlie's dad putting on a jacket? It's just like clips of him in every single movie putting on a jacket. I guess he puts on a jacket. Really
it's like
weird.
Tom Cruise running. It's just something. It's like he has to do it in the movie.
It's like Jonathan Frakes sitting down. Have you seen that one?
No, I haven't.
Oh yeah, look that up. You watch, or even just Riker sitting down.
Is he just kind of like really cautiously sitting?
No, he steps over the chair.
Oh,
really?
Weird.
Some big dick energy right there.
he had a back injury when he was young.
Oh, okay.
And so sitting down is weird for him. Because it's painful. So he has this weird way that he like mounts a chair. It's fucking strange.
Oh, weird.
Laura Dern. I don't know. Bruce Dern. He played a secondary character in a lot. But
she's played leading
she
roles
in
a
Jurassic
lot.
Jurassic Park. And that alone tops anything Bruce Dern ever did.
Well, Bruce Dern shot John Wayne, though.
That's fine. He was in Last Man Standing.
I'm in the Bruce
Stern. One of my favorite Bruce Willis movies.
I'm gonna go with the.
You're gonna level set him. I'm gonna give it to Bruce because I think he's.
She had Jurassic Park. That's all.
His body of work.
And she was a lead in Jurassic Park.
Surpassed what she's done.
She was also a cameo in Jurassic Park 3.
That's true.
Bryce Dallas Howard, she's way prettier than her dad.
She's way behind, though. Her dad has been in the industry for over nearly three quarters of a century.
He was in the fucking Andy Griffith show. How do you even compete with
that? Happy Days. Then he directed like 100,000 fucking great movies.
Yeah, I don't think like she could hit home run after home run for the next decade and still struggle to ever be on par with the shit that Ron Howard did.
Lewis Bill Pullman kids.
Yeah, I had that one started. Bill Pullman has a couple kids. Apparently they've been in movies. My wife was telling me about it. They've actually been in movies. I forgot to like do further research, but they've done some stuff. I don't see them at his level.
Yeah, I'm indifferent. So
because they haven't stepped forward enough to
fucking Lone Star.
So. Rumor Willis, she's already done.
There's no way she could keep up with those two either.
Yeah, not a prayer. I don't think I recognize
Maya Hawke. She's young enough to
too early to tell.
It's too
Stranger Things.
I don't know. Though.
Stranger Things.
That's gonna be a tough one.
But she is going to have a hell of a time ever surpassing the consistent caliber of work of Ethan Hawke.
Yeah.
What about Uma Thurman?
Well, I haven't gotten there yet.
Ethan Hawke has
gotten there yet.
Ethan Hawke has played these. Okay, so Ethan Hawke is one of those unique actors that when he was young, he played these really like innocent type characters. He's going through an era right now where he's playing these real he's the one guy that I'm like, thanks for not getting dental work done as a kid because your teeth are it's worth the character roles that you get to play with those teeth. Because I mean, his teeth are just jagged as shit, but The Good Lord Bird on Showtime. I haven't watched it all yet, but he is great in that really fucking great show.
He took what was that?
Training Day was amazing.
Yeah.
What was the the first Purge movie, the one with him and Cersei Lannister? He took a really fucking average bare bones home invasion type of script and turned it into a great movie. The first Purge movie is fucking tight.
What's that one? Daywalkers? Or
Daybreakers.
That was a good movie.
No, and to your point, no, I hadn't even gotten to Uma Thurman yet because I think it's too early to tell. She was great in Stranger Things.
Yeah. Right.
Like, she was great. And I'm excited to see more.
And Uma
of her.
Thurman undid a lot of her goodwill from Pulp Fiction and Kill Bill with shit like Cats and
Everybody was in Cats, though.
Yeah. No, not Cats.
The Truth About Cats.
The Truth About Cats.
She did some really.
She did some real. She's done some really fucking rom-com.
No, those were paychecks, and I bet you those are easy to do.
Right. Well, I mean, fucking Nick Cage is.
He's in a bunch of paychecks.
Pretty paychecky anymore these days, but
And that's. I won't.
I can't fault him.
I won't discount somebody's career for doing paycheck movies.
Nope.
Especially not somebody like Uma Thurman, who's
who's
got
everybody
has a job to do.
If you want to grossly oversimplify it, at the end of the day, you're making a really decent, handsome salary to satisfy your crippling need for attention while playing pretend.
Right.
Yeah.
You're gonna hate on somebody for doing that? Fuck you. That just sounds bitter and jealous.
I'm just
man.
Jelly. Anytime I'm mad at an actor, I'm just jelly.
Oh,
that's all it is.
There's some shit that they do that I'm like, boy, that's commitment to your craft.
Listen to that Zach to the Future podcast still?
I catch an episode here and there, yeah.
Listening to him talk, sometimes it really does just sound like a fucking job. You know, like people will be just playing
Mark Paul?
Yeah. There are times where
he puts fucking shit into perspective.
Yeah.
A lot because, like, he's been working and working ever since fucking, like, he would show up in shows.
Tons of TV
and he'd
shows.
Do, like, he'd Tons do pilot season. Shows. And then every once in a while, a show would get picked up for a few, like, because he did NYPD Blue for a handful of years.
Mm-hmm.
Not as a main cast member. And then Franklin and Bash.
Yeah, that's what it was called.
But then he'd do like these shows that would run these one season little jaunts for like 10 episodes at a time. So he's been a working actor.
Yeah.
Essentially, has had some success along the way since Saved by the Bell. And so I think he understands like the importance of like work because he has to pay the fucking bills.
Yeah. And he's got like four kids.
Yeah.
David Fincher, that's who I was thinking of. There are some directors that you hear of being notoriously difficult to work with, and notoriously, like, David Fincher is one of them. It was something that Hitchcock and Kubrick were both really
doing, like, 1,000 takes.
Yeah, like, okay, I want you to say this line, but I'm going to film you saying this line from, like, 25 different angles, and I want you to say it 25 different times, so there's going to be a total of 225 different takes of this one line.
Yeah.
And we're going to settle on one. Like, that kind of shit?
I wouldn't even like to edit something like that.
I don't know how
I'd
feel
about
that
would be terrible.
That sounds terrible. But then when you look at some other things that are, you know, like one thing that has always interested me or attracted me to the idea of acting is all of the little things that they get paid to learn how to do. Like,
Tom Cruise?
I was in this movie about a stunt driver, so I spent 6 months at a professional stunt driving course and got paid to do it. Like, fuck yeah, sign me the fuck up.
That shit is awesome.
That sounds cool as shit.
I need to do this stunt where I'm strapped to the side of a plane taking off.
I had to play, look at the fucking, the sword fighting training that Ewan McGregor went through for the lightsaber fights for Star Wars and stuff. Like, yeah, no, I'm a fully trained fucking fencer now because I played a fencer in a movie that
I played a Jedi.
That's learned skills that never go away that you get paid to learn.
Yeah.
It's like there was a picture of Chris Hemsworth working out, getting ready for Thor. the new Thor movie, and he was like pushing this tire.
Free trainer.
Yeah, he's like pushing this tire that's like the size of your fucking house.
Free trainer and all time. Like, there's no time that he doesn't have time and to do it. Yeah,
you know how you get in that kind of shape? Because you get paid to get in that kind of shape.
But yeah, that's your job.
That's part of your job. You're not some guy who spends 40 hours a week schlubbing cell phones and right. gets up an hour and a half early every day.
So that your downtime between workouts is maybe a little bit of this.
Yeah, man.
And then you're back to fucking drinking kale shakes and other fucking bullshit.
I loved the guy, Rob... I can't remember his last name. The guy that plays Mac on Always Sunny.
McElhaney or whatever.
He got in the most recent season after they did the season where he got really fat for
Fat Mac,
for no reason and whatnot. Right. Well, in the most recent season, he was like Chris Hemsworth, like super cut. And he posted some picture of himself on there and was like, yeah, I don't understand why more people don't do this. I mean, all you have to do is basically stop drinking, eat only what you're told to eat for 6 months, sleep 8 hours a night, do this workout every day. I don't see why more people don't do it. And I'm like, yeah, that's
good. Speaking of that guy, Mythic Quest, if you haven't checked that show out, check that show out.
I've heard really good things.
That's one of Apple TV's best products right now. Apple TV has a couple good shows. That one and what's the one with Jason Sudeikis in it?
Ted Lasso.
Yeah, Ted Lasso. That was based on skits they did like 7-8 years ago.
No shit.
Yeah, I just discovered that there's like 7 or 8 year old clips.
Interesting.
That it started out as a skit. The show is way more heartfelt, and
I've heard it's really good.
It's so good.
I've heard it's justifiably praised.
Before we get out of here. Bruno, I talked to Bruno about this. Our last episode, one of my main plugs was listening to our shows at 1.5 speed. Bruno does this anyway. Like he got the instruction before I gave it.
I've been listening at 1.5 speed for a long time, that's how I listen to all my podcasts.
Yeah, I listen to
a good amount of podcasts, so I need to get through them.
Yeah,
and. That's
well. Like, it's important when we're doing 3-hour stints.
Yeah,
You can trim. Yeah,
you can cut that shit down.
That's a good And you know, you go now. I'm so used to 1.5. It's like if I go anything lower than 1.5, I'm just like, why are
they jarring?
Why are they talking so slow? Yeah, it feels like they're not talking fast enough. So
yeah. Like 1.5 speed for me seems normal now.
Yeah, I agree. I listen to most of my I've been doing that for because I've every once in a while, like you'll hear me on the show. And if you listen to past episodes, I'll be like 1.5 speed. That's what I like.
I'll have to try.
You can't do two.
Mm-hmm. No, two's too fast. Too much. I agree 100%.
I'll have to try I've never done it.
But 1.5.
If they had 1.7, maybe.
Maybe. Yeah, 1. I could say
1.75. Maybe
1.25 is too slow though. 1.5 feels like it's like the Goldilocks of speeds.
Yep.
But
yeah, you should give it a shot, man.
Yeah. I will try that because I've never done it.
It might be rough with Bill Burr. He talks pretty fast.
I don't know. You'd probably get used to it.
You get used to it because like I have some podcasts I listen to where they're fast talkers and. You get used to it.
And if there's a cadence or a pace that seems upbeat or something, like you see something, oh, I missed that, then you can just hit that little 15-second.
Yeah.
Yep.
That little loop, and you can cut it back, and then you catch it one more time. You're still not losing that much time.
Yeah.
You're only losing 10 seconds.
Okay. Right. All right. You're only losing 10. You're not really losing 15.
I have homework, then. I'll have to try that.
Boy, we got...
We went everywhere tonight.
We did.
We had a whole show before the main show started.
We had a plan, damn it.
We'll pick up this other one later.
Yeah, we'll put some of these on the back burner. But but before we do go, Oscars. We didn't talk about the Oscars, which there isn't really much to talk about. Well, but we'll talk about the Oscars aftermath when we meet again in 2 weeks because they'll have happened.
Yeah, I'll know as much.
Is that jerky? Is that beef jerky?
It is.
What is that? Oh, okay.
Yeah, Old Trader peppered beef jerky. It's delicious.
I saw you guys. I saw you guys picking at it earlier. I was curious.
Yeah, I snagged a piece.
That's good.
I'm going to snag another one before I go home.
That's good.
But I would say, regardless of the fact that we did essentially an entire show before we actually got into any of our notes.
Yeah, we really did.
We had a pretty solid outing tonight. So,
but come back next time when we talk about review pages on Facebook.
Yes.
And what the fuck is going on there?
I like your idea.
We can build on that between now and then too.
It's a good tease. Is it the new generation's version of the phone book?
Yeah, and I want to take a tease for the next episode. I want to take a deeper dive into, and I don't know, we may have talked about this on the show before, but I know I've talked about it with people before, is generations. Like, we have the greatest generation, the baby boomers,
He even skipped the silent generation.
The silent generation. Yeah, exactly.
There's everybody skips the silent
generation. All those generations. And I think it'd be fun to have, like, a discussion on those. All the way up until the generation that is our kids, which is Generation Z, which also happens to be the last letter of the alphabet. So,
yeah, and
do what you will with that.
The real 2012 is only about 200 years away,
right? All right, so
Gen Z is going to save us all.
Yeah, I hope
Marzipan is the shit.
Oh, that's not right.
All the current kindergartners and preschools. Schoolers are going to be saving grace of this failing experiment we call humanity.
Oh, also, teaser episode coming up. If you like the song that you're listening to right now, I'm putting together an episode the 40s through the mid to late 50s of the original or the Basement Boys 2 run. Where Derek and I started the show, like we went 65 episodes of the Basement Boys 2 when we restarted back in 2017. There was a series of episodes where I either wrote intros that one or the other of us read or Siri read on the show.
Oh, I remember that.
I remember that.
And so I'm actually going to do a compilation of just the intros. That's going to be the title of the bonus episode that's going to be coming up here.
Just the intros.
Shortly is nice. Just the intros. You can go back and find them all in the previous episodes if you want to go look for them. But I'm going to take the work out of your hands and put together a fully clipped episode of just the intros. And you'll get to hear the drop into this outro several times over the course of that bonus episode. So
should be a fucking dream.
So it's going to be that
nice
that the intro followed by the ba-na-na-na-na-na-na. And then it'll be another intro followed by the ba-na-na-na-na-na-na. So, anyway, that's that. I'll hand it to Rick to finish out our episode here. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Good night, folks.
Adios.
All right, peeps, didn't I tell you this was the best one? They fucking nailed it as usual. In case you weren't listening at the beginning, make sure you head over to timespentpoorly.com and click things. Give us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. While you're at it, subscribe on YouTube and get notified the next time we're live. Maybe you appreciate what we give you and you want to support us? Great! Head over to patreon.com/timespentpoorly and check out how you can do just that. Thanks again for wasting your time with us this week. Now go make better use of it! Until next time.
Off the record. The Time Spent Poorly Show After Hours.
Dicks and balls.
Oh my God.
What's the YouTube link you sent, Bruno?
Oh, that was the Martin Sheen putting off the jacket.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. Nice.
See?
See?
I have to go now to a special meeting of the government. Last to get on the ballot in New Hampshire. Former president of Panama. You know where he went to school?
He flies it on like wings.
It's the craziest shit.
Mr. President, why can't I keep a head lawyer around here? It's not because you want me to look strong on defense. There was a while there I wanted to be a chemistry professor.
He's too funny.
It wasn't a non-denominational service.
Tell me again why I can't wear whatever the hell I want.
Well, it's just a little clip.
Dude, he throws it on like a fucking cape. It's beautiful.
Yeah, it looks so weird.
That's the elusive man.
It's beautiful.
Something nice.
Most of this group. I watched David Arquette put in the movie Road Racers. David Arquette puts on an Inside Out T-shirt. And then like turns it right side out as he puts it on. Uh-huh. And so like, this was like when I was like 18 when I saw this movie. So every time I have to put on an Inside Out t-shirt, that's how I put it on. I put that, like I figure it and I'm like, I'm in.
Thank you, sir. That's it, man. Speed, baby. Speed. Efficiency.
Some of the deficit hawks.
Dude, this is awesome. This is something I had no idea existed and I love.
How many Democrats against this?
Yeah. Do a quick.
I'm going to have to link this in our episode notes.
It just goes.
Do the Riker one, too.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Riker sit.
Me. He makes Milton Friedman like, look middle of the road. That's
does he practice it at home?
I don't think I could do that.
No, I think that's probably how he puts a coat on.
No, I'm pretty sure that's literally in real life.
Somebody, yeah, somebody saw him do that in a meeting sometime and was like, that's the damnedest thing. We should have your character do that all the time. That's a character quirk. Like,
YouTube.
Whatever.
It'll fix it.
Yeah.
Are you searching on Bing?
Yeah, shut up.
Right
please,
now, Ward?
Shut up.
You're searching on Bing?
Okay, I got to share screen for Bruno. Oh, so he's just like a high school jock.
Yeah, no, man. Like I said, that's some big dick energy right there. Like, that's fucking amazing. You're
fucking Reading Rainbow guy just leaves.
And he leaves.
Oh, and he leaves. I gotta send these to my dad.
This is fucking great.
I want to see like a really high back chair.
I can't believe
like every time he sits down, it's like getting on a bicycle.
Yeah,
he mounts everything like a horse.
It's I love that's what I was gonna say. It's like he's getting on a horse, but no, the fact that he leaves the same way that he sits down, that's really beautiful.
I'm in. I'm out.
I'm picturing the crew members behind the camera just like holding in their laughter as he does this.
They probably, but at the time they probably had no idea or didn't even recognize it. It's somebody that watched this. Somebody that watched the series. Oh my gosh.
All right. Well, Bruno,
get some sleep, man.
Get some sleep.
Hey, yeah, man. Bruno, thanks a lot. You want to do this again? Of course, I'm sure. I'm hoping.
Yeah, dude, whenever you guys want to have me on, just let me know. And if it works out, I'm in.
Right on.
Yeah. I totally appreciate you coming on. It's been a blast. This is definitely easily two episodes.
Oh, yeah.
Because that first one is sure. Like its own standalone deal because of the content.
One Rogan episode.
One Rogan.
Right. Yeah. Well, the last one that Huds and I did together, I just did as one because it was just so
tight.
Yeah, seamless.
But it was like what 145, I think.
A little over 2, I think, but it was still.
Was it really?
Yeah. Well, you listened to it 1.5 speed, remember?
Yeah, I know, but I usually like I could tell cuz like I'll look at the episode length and I'll be like depending on my drive.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, okay, I'm going to listen to this and I know that if it's a 2-hour, it's like, okay, this is my trip in and out of the city. And I don't remember thinking that, but hey, I guess it was.
Yeah, I mean, it was a nice, tight episode.
It's great that there's somebody who listens to us on their commute.
Yeah. At least we know somebody that's generous enough to speak up about it. No.
I listen to podcasts all the time. In the shower, podcasts. Driving, podcasts. Whatever, just working where I don't have to be focusing on my work. Podcast.
That's amazing because for me, I remember when I started doing the podcast, when you actually found us originally, I listened to podcasts all the time. And then when I start, by the time I started doing the show again, I don't listen to that many anymore. And so, like, I'll get, like, Chris turned me on to, like, Hidden Brain, and then every once in a while I'll listen to a Sword and Scale, and a couple other true crime ones that my wife had, like, if we go on a road trip or something, we'll listen to some true crime to, like, just terrorize my kids in the back seat when they don't want to have their headphones on. But,
No, I mean, when I first found you guys, and it's funny, like, I first found you guys, I had a BlackBerry.
Right, yeah.
How long ago it was. And, oh, yeah, we talked about it.
Yeah, we did.
That's right, I forgot. And I was listening, it was like you guys, there was a film-related podcast that was also like a YouTube show called Film Riot. And I used to listen to the Ace Network. What's his name?
Adam Carolla.
But his were kind of long. And at the time, like, my commutes weren't very long. And I kind of slowly started waning off of podcasts. And then I came back and started listening to podcasts because, like, the information is – you could soak up so much information so quickly. And then one day I was like, you know what? Whatever happened to Basement Boys? And I just, like, searched you guys, and you guys were there, Basement Boys too. And I just picked
that. That was hilarious because I remember getting, like, I think we were in a mall when I got your message at one point in time. Like, I was shopping with my family in the mall. And I got this message. I'm like, I remember this. I remember Bruno.
Yeah.
And so, and he reached out to me and was like, I listened to you guys. And that, like, felt really, like, rewarding in a way, because I was like, oh, I, like, held on to a fan.
We have
somebody,
one true fan.
Yeah, that continued to listen, or, like, actually sought us out, which was kind of cool. Not kind of, really cool. But it was, like, it just kind of, like, I remember being in the mall and I'm, like, looking through my stuff and kind of geeking out a little bit, because I was like, oh, wow. And my wife was like, what are you doing? I'm like, one of the people that used to listen to our show sent me a message. And so, and she's like, and my wife, as she will be like, oh, like, nonplussed by anything to do with the podcast, other than that it gives her a few hours of free time every 2 weeks.
I legit didn't think that you would remember it. It had been years.
No, I remember. Yeah, because I had about probably 6 or 7 people that were actively, like, in contact with the show that would, like, reach out and talk, like, were giving, like, feedback or asking, like, you guys should talk about this, or, like, I really love the show. And Bruno was one of the people that I talked to. And so, like, that's not a huge swath of people that you, like, have to, like, recollect. And so then when Bruno reached out to me afterwards, I was like, that is cool, because it, and yeah, I think it's a valuable relationship that we've kind of, like, been able to build. Like, I know you more now than I knew you before, when you listened to the show before.
It's kind of cool.
I get to talk about my friend Bruno that works in movies. So, I think you've eclipsed us as far as that goes, because that's kind of
No way. I mean, you guys still run a podcast. I do not.
It doesn't take much. But anyway, I'll let you go, man. But thanks, Bruno, for joining us. Sure. Don't be surprised if I put this in, like, as bonus audio at the end of an episode, because it's cool content. But
yeah, man, no, sure. Do it, go for it.
Anyway,
off the record.
Suddenly on it.
Say that one more time, because I'll give me some work to do, editing wise. Some work to
do. Off the record.
Off the record.
There we go. Now I'll move it all around in the episode.
In a basement, poorly in the middle of after hours.
All right, one more time.
The Time Spent Poorly Show After Hours.
Perfect.
Dicks and Balls.
Oh my God.
That's terrible.
All right.
Later, Bruno.
Thanks, Bruno.
Take care, man.
Take care.
Good to see
Have
you, man.
Have a good night, guys.
Later. You too.
Time Spent Poorly.
That was a waste of time.
Yep.